This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Auto Repair Marketing Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Walker. Do I normally say my last name, or do I just say Brian?
I don't know.
Anyway.
But I'm Kim Walker.
Yeah, and she's the co-host, as usual. The last couple of times, you have been the solo host. And we are back in the studio together for the first time in a little while, which means that there's no telling what you're going to hear in this podcast today, because she is in a special kind of mood, y'all.
And he is being quite a badger.
Anonymous badger, according to the Google Doc that's on her computer. I'm an anonymous badger.
You need to thank our sponsor.
Thank you, RepairPal, for providing this episode. RepairPal's certified network of shops are trusted by millions of customers each month. Learn more at RepairPal.com/shops. Thank you, RepairPal. All right, so we are going to be talking about
a hot topic.
I don't know if hot topic is the right word.
I mean hot as in people get hot about it. People can get hot about it.
So we're going to be talking about how population affects marketing. This is one of those things that there are so many variables. Okay, so I'm going to do my best with this because there's a lot to unpack here. There is no like one size fits all description of, you know, this, but
I like the way you have it laid out, though. It makes sense.
I mean, population does have a very big impact on marketing because, we work with shops that are in very different areas. I mean, we've got shops where the population around them is less than 1,000 people.
Do we really have clients with less than 1,000 people in population?
We do.
I'd question that, but carry on.
We do. And then we have shops that are in Houston, for example, and Houston is like the bane of my existence with their 2.5 million people and their 4 million auto repair shops.
Well, it's funny. Houston is the only one he ever complains about, but there are so many other places that have so much more population. So you're saying it's the density of the shops in competition?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's all of it.
Our friend Mac in Chandler, Arizona, he's got a ton of competition around him.
He does. It's interesting because I find that Houston is a lot worse than Atlanta area shops, for example, but Houston's also a lot like LA. If you think about those places, they have a pretty high concentration of blue collar, a lot of migrant workers that come into that area. And because of that, there are a lot of businesses that come up around that. And I don't know that that's the only reason, but I do know that when you get into Houston, I lived in Houston for a year and a half.
A million years ago, and he thinks he's a Houston guru now.
I lived there long enough to see what Houston is like.
He's just so salty about Houston now, but if you're in Houston, just know that you matter too, and you deserve to be able to do great marketing. So I don't want anyone that's from Houston listening and checking out. You need to invite them in, Brian, talk to them.
Yeah, I mean,
discriminating against Houston.
I'm not discriminating, but man, that is a tough market. Like, it is a tough market. There are so many auto repair shops in such a small area. And when we talk about Houston, I mean, we work with shops that are on the outskirts of Houston, the Woodlands and Katy and some of these places, and they're not hard to market. But you get the ones that are like in Houston proper. They can just be a bear. And it's the same way with any of those big markets. So anyway, let's get into this. I'm going to refer to these as large market, mid-market, and small market. And there's probably some proper definitions out there for what those are. I looked it up. I couldn't find anything that said large market is this many people, mid-market is this many people, and small market is this many people. But I just threw some numbers in there on my own based on some of the cities that we do a lot of work in and the experiences that we have with those.
I feel like you need your own, you know, like there's Maslow's hierarchy and now you have the Walker's hierarchy of marketing needs. This is like the Brian breakdown.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people are going to put much into that. But anyway, for the sake of this podcast, what I'm going to call a large market is going to be anything with 300,000 and more population. And that is a huge range because 300,000. There's a lot of cities that you wouldn't think of as big cities with 300,000. But I mean, they go up into the millions when you get into New York City, LA, Houston, Atlanta. These are some very large markets.
So we're going to talk to you about marketing and what your marketing looks like in these different types of markets.
Yeah, just some things that you need to think of based on the market that you are in. When we get into these large markets, and we already talked about this some, but they're often saturated with auto repair shops, and those auto repair shops tend to be clustered. You go into these cities and they have industrial areas. I have been on streets before that literally for blocks, there is nothing on those streets but auto repair shops.
It is. I've never thought about it until you just said it. I was just in New Orleans the other day. Technically, I was in Kenna, and there were a few streets where I was like, good grief. Can anybody else get on this street that's a shop? So, I hadn't thought about it until you just said that.
And that would be Kenna Bra.
Yep, I know.
When you get into these areas where you have these large clusters of auto repair shops, so you think about things like local SEO, for example. Every shop wants to be in the top three listings on in the map listings. And those map listings, the most impactful thing to whether or not you are going to show up in that map listing or not is your proximity to the person doing the search. If they are sitting in the parking lot of your auto repair shop and they do a search for auto repair near me, in theory, your shop should be the one that comes up. It doesn't always work that way, because in reality, it might be that another shop is closer to the cell tower or something. And I don't know exactly how that works.
Yeah, but we've had shops ask us that. We've had shops call and say, I'm sitting in my shop Googling and I'm not coming up.
Yeah, but they're also usually attached to their Wi-Fi.
Right.
And not their cellular.
Yeah.
So that's something to think about also.
Elaborate on that just a little bit, because somebody just heard you say that and went, whoa, wait, what?
Yeah, so when you're attached to your Wi-Fi, they don't have an exact location of where you are. Like, they don't know what your coordinates are like they do with your cellular device. They know exactly where you are when you're on your cellular device. When we had our office in downtown Hammond, we had internet by a company called NTS. Mm-hmm. And NTS was based out of Dallas. And when we would look at our Google Analytics, we would see that a large number of people that were visiting our website, they were showing from Dallas. All it was all the people that were NTS clients who were in Hammond, Louisiana. It was because they were showing up as if they were in Dallas. And it was a mistake by the ISP or the internet service provider. So you can't really get accurate location-based search results when you are connected to your home internet connection
If you get on your laptop, which is connected to your business Wi-Fi, and you do a search, and then you pick up your phone and you do the same exact search,
you're going to get different results. Yeah.
Okay.
When you have all of these shops that are concentrated in one area, it makes it very difficult to rank on Google Business Profile. I always still want to say Google My Business, but it's Google Business Profile. You don't see that as much in mid-markets and small markets where they're all clustered together like that. Mm-hmm. You might see it some in mid-markets, but for the most part, you just don't, and definitely not in small markets. You might have one, two, maybe three shops that are somewhat close, but not 20 auto repair shops all clustered together. Yeah.
But to do that marketing in a heavily populated area with a lot of competition is going to require a bigger budget.
Yeah. And when we talk about budget, we're talking, there's two marketing actions that are going to get really impacted by population, and that's going to be Google Ads, and that is going to be SEO. The more shops that you have in a particular area that are all competing for those same keywords, be it paid or organic, the more difficult it's going to be, and the more budget that you're going to have to put into it. And when you get into especially Google Ads, Google is a business. They are there to make money. And if you think about it in your own business, and I've talked about this on this podcast before, but you know, if you think about it in your own business, if you have a client who is willing to spend $8,000 every time they bring their car in, and you have another client who the only thing they ever want to do is the oil change, which one are you going to take better care of? Mm-hmm. And I know that in theory, you're like, I'm going to provide the best customer service to both of them. I hear you. That's all nice and everything. But the fact is if you have to choose between one of those two customers, you are going to choose the one who every time you give them a big estimate on the car, they're like, fix it all. Mm-hmm. Tell me when it's done. If Google has a client that is willing to put a $5,000 a month budget into their ads and another client that's putting a $500 a month budget into their ads, which one do you think they want to see the ads work for the best?
Yeah.
They're basically selling digital real estate. They have four positions to show you up in. to make you show up.
Four? I thought it was three.
No, there's four. There are four ad spots at the top of the page, and then we could say there's a fifth one with the Google Map results. There's a paid position in there that you can show up also.
Yeah.
But then there are also spots at the bottom of the page, and there's spots on page two and three and four and five and so on. But none of those matter. The only ones that matter are the ones that are at the top of page one. So when you have all these shops in a concentrated area and they're all willing to put money into it, the one who has the biggest budget will often, not always, but it's a big contributor, it can be the one that wins. And then when it comes to SEO, man, SEO is one of those things where you can get as technical and as complicated as you want to with SEO. Now, businesses like us, we basically put together a package and we sell you that, and whatever's in that package is what we're going to do every month. But what gets done in that package for a shop that's in a town that has 20,000 people is going to make a much larger impact than doing those same actions for someone who's in the middle of a large market.
Yeah, and that just makes sense. So many people think or don't realize that SEO is the long haul. It's Google Ads that are the quick today. SEO takes time, but it takes even more time when you're in such a highly competitive area.
Yeah, and when you are in that area like Houston or Dallas or Atlanta, it is incredibly easy for you to have a $5,000 to $10,000 to $15,000 Google ad budget every month. It's when you get into that $5,000 ad budget that you can actually be competitive. And when you get into the upper budgets where you can really start killing it, I've seen some large ad budgets in markets like that just perform like crazy. And I mean, that's just a reality that a lot of people don't want to hear, is that the size of your ad budget can be a major contributor to how well your ads perform. And in these large markets, it makes such a big difference.
And keep in mind, there are agencies out there that charge you, just like a home builder charges their fee as a percent of the build of the house.
Yeah.
Lots of agencies are charging 15% of your ad budget. So we're not telling you that you need more budget because we're getting more money because you're spending more. The way that we do it,
yeah, we charge a flat fee.
So it doesn't matter to us how much you're spending on your ad budget. The reason we're telling you to increase your budget or to have a big budget is because you're going to get a better return on it, or you're going to get the return you're looking for. So in case anybody's, oh, they're saying that because getting
There's nothing in it for us except that you get better results out of your marketing. So there's actually a lot in it for us. Yeah. That's what we want, is for you to have amazing results in your marketing.
And we just built a house. So that's why I use that example. And our home builder is the only home builder that we know of that's charging a flat fee, because most of them are charging a percentage. So when they're, same kind of example, when they're looking to help you pick the electrician, they're not going to pick the electrician with the biggest budget because they're getting a cut of that. Ours is doing the flat fee too. So it's just important for people to know why we're, another why of why we're telling you that.
Time to thank our friends at RepairPal for making this episode possible. Don't get left behind. Today's tech-savvy consumers value instant gratification, so they start their searches for a repair shop on their computers and smartphones. These power users research auto repair and service options and decide which shops to engage with in an instant. Gain these customers by being RepairPal certified. They provide proof that your prices are fair with their best-in-class estimator. They're the largest site for auto repair, and they will introduce your shop to new customers through RepairPal.com and through the recommendation of partners like USAA, CarMax, and Consumer Reports. As shop owners, we were in the RepairPal certified network, and it helped grow our business. You have to be in it to win it, so head on over to repairpal.com/shops and set up a call to learn more. When you sign up, you'll get 1 month of service free and save $150 off certification. That's repairpal.com/shops. It's also important to know this, so that if you have Google Ads and you don't feel like they're performing well and the company that's running them has you doing a $500 a month budget, it's not enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care where you are. For the most part, that's not enough. If you get into some ultra small market, it might be enough, but I find that Google Ads doesn't work well in ultra small markets anyway. And we're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
So I don't want to get too ahead of myself.
This podcast episode is great for people to look at and evaluate the market they're in and what they're doing for their marketing, but also the person who's looking to buy a new shop or open a new shop, and to be thinking about what's marketing going to look like. Because just because you have a shop in Hammond, Louisiana, and you want to buy a shop that's in Houston, you're not going to have the same marketing budget in Houston as you do for Hammond. Not going
to
happen.
Yeah. So the other thing that you have to really think about when it comes to having a shop in a large market like this is you got to be really good at what you're doing, because people have so many choices. You have to be really good. Specializing helps a lot, because being a generalist auto repair shop in a major market like that, I personally couldn't even imagine trying to do that.
I was thinking about that, and I feel like being a specialty shop, like this may be counterintuitive, but in my mind, I'm thinking, if you're a specialty shop in a small market, that's good because you can draw from outside of your local community. I think that the client that you said that we have in one of these tiny markets, I think it is our, like they work on RVs and big trucks.
Nope.
And it's not?
No.
I'm thinking of the one like out in the middle of a freaking cornfield in the middle of nowhere. But they're a huge shop, very busy. If you look at their Google business, the picture where you can zoom in, like they're legit in the middle of freaking cornfields or something. There's nothing anywhere around, but they're big and they're busy and they get all these RVs and big trucks, but their specialty in the middle of nothing, nowhere.
Yeah, no, that is not who I'm talking about.
Okay.
But anyway, you also need to be able to differentiate, because otherwise you're just same old in a huge sea of auto repair shops.
Gotta be a purple cow.
Yeah. And we have a podcast about Purple Cow.
With Vic Taurasi.
If you don't know what Kim was talking about, we'll put it in the show notes. But this is also where a strong social media strategy can thrive, because you can differentiate yourself through your social media. Do the whole know, like, trust thing that we talk about all the time.
Yeah.
And it's so important, especially in a large market, because people, again, they have so many choices. The last thing that I'll say about the large markets is, you probably want to focus on marketing around the name of the suburb or the neighborhoods. I know when I lived in Houston, I lived in the Greenbrier area.
And sounds fancy. Was it fancy?
No, not at all. It is the opposite of fancy, unless they've had some gentrification that's happened since then.
So the Woodlands is kind of fancy, right?
Yeah, the Woodlands is very fancy, but this was 25 years ago. So actually more than that. Gosh, almost 30 years ago now.
Yeah, I think I said 100 earlier.
Yeah, you did. Think about what are the things that people call your area of these larger cities? Because they have that, just like New York has Soho and Midtown and all of that. That is how people in those areas will actually search. They'll look for auto repair in Uptown.
Now, keep in mind, we just talked to you about the large markets as defined by the Brian Walker breakdown of 300,000 to millions of people in that one market. This is not all encompassing. There are still other things that you can and should be doing with your marketing, but these are the main points that we want to drive home when it comes to thinking about the marketing you do for a larger market. So the next one, a mid-market, Brian's breakdown is 100,000 to 300,000 people. And I'm assuming you didn't just pull these names out of your head. You did the research.
Yeah.
So we're talking about the Savannahs, the Richmond, Syracuse, Cary, North Carolina, which is where our shop was.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, technically, our shop was, the address was Apex, but across the street was Cary.
I love doing marketing in mid-markets.
Oh, yeah. It's so great.
It can be like shooting fish in a barrel.
Shooting fish in a barrel.
You've never heard that explanation?
No.
Or that saying?
What kind
that
of
saying?
Redneck crap is that? Where'd you?
That is not redneck.
What is it? Who?
That is a mainstream saying.
Okay, first of all, who shot a fish in a barrel? Tell me it was not a redneck.
You know what? It probably
was it your cousin?
It probably was a redneck.
Okay, period. Carry on.
This is one of those sayings that's been around forever. But
this
Kim,
is why you asked me to do this podcast with you, by the way. I'm just saying.
Kim doesn't do sayings very well.
Regardless, I don't care. Shoot a fish in a barrel. That's the craziest thing.
So anyway, mid-markets can be like shooting fish in a barrel. There's enough population, but it's usually not oversaturated with auto repair shops. You can get away usually with that $2,000, $2,500, $3,000 a month Google ad budget. SEO, it's not super fast, but it doesn't take forever like it can in these large markets. You have no idea how distracted I am by her right now, because she's cracking herself up over here doing a social media post while we're recording a podcast.
I'm sorry that you asked me to be on this one with you, and I cannot. We need social media, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
How many times have you said, Brian Walker, when y'all hear, oh my God, you got to come see this, take your phone out. When somebody says shoot a fish in a barrel, you got to take your phone out. So
it's not the same.
You're right. I'm posting on Facebook right now.
In these mid-sized markets, you still need to be really good because you are going to have competition and people are still going to have a lot of choices. The nice thing about these mid-markets is that people will drive further because usually the traffic is not as bad in these size markets as when you get into the larger markets. So you might get somebody that'll travel 7, 8, maybe 10 miles to get their car fixed, especially if you are a specialty shop.
I think they'll go further if you're a specialty shop.
Yeah, it depends on
people coming from Pittsburgh.
It depends on the specialty, yeah. But I mean, they were in Pittsburgh because there was absolutely nowhere for them to get their Euro car fixed out there. I like mid-markets. When we get a new client, they're in a mid-market, I kind of drool a little bit.
I feel like you have some flexibility there, right? You have options, I think. Bigger markets, you're like, you have to do this. Smaller markets, also, kind of, you have to do this. In the middle market, you've got some wiggle room. I like wiggle room.
I like the small markets too. And we're going to talk about that. And I define the small markets as less than 100,000. And we sit here in Hammond, Louisiana. We're in a market of about 18,000 last I saw. But that number has been around for a while. So it's probably a little over 20, but it doubles
when college is in session
because we're a college town.
Which that's a whole nother, we've done a podcast about that. But
yeah.
When you have that, that's a whole different thing.
Yeah, but you're dealing with a bunch of broke college students and not all of them's parents.
Their parents.
Yeah, but still, not all of them's parents can take care of their cars. So.
Now, it also depends, like my blessed little Southeastern Louisiana University here that I love and I'm an alma mater of.
That's where all the broke kids go.
Okay, but if you're an Ole Miss in Oxford, Mississippi.
Yeah, it's a different animal.
Little rich kids.
So, yeah.
Mama with the Amex.
Yep. All right. Small markets, sub 100,000. We're talking about places like Hammond, Louisiana. I looked up the best places to live with under 100,000 population.
Was Hammond in that?
No, not a chance.
It's a great place.
Noblesville, Indiana was number one.
Never heard of her.
And then, and that was going to be my point. And Loveland, Colorado.
Definitely have heard of her.
Was one. But you and I are different when it comes to hearing about Loveland because we love that area of Colorado.
Yeah.
I don't think that most people have ever heard of Loveland, Colorado, and I pretty much can guarantee you most people haven't heard of Noblesville, Indiana, and they certainly haven't heard of Hammond, Louisiana, if they're not
from this area. Well, okay, I have things to say about that, but you're not
going to let me say it. So my point is that these are a lot of the towns that you've probably never even heard of unless you live near them. They're usually super easy to market, as long as you have enough population there to market to. Unfortunately, though, in a lot of these small towns, you can get a lot of auto repair shops because I think that the smaller towns just kind of attract blue collar.
Although you said in the larger market, like Houston, those are heavy blue collar. So
yeah.
I don't know, but I need to say something.
Okay, gosh, please just do it. Just
here's
get it over with.
Fun Kim game. If you look up Hammond, Louisiana, and you email me something interesting that you learned about my town, I'm going to send you something really fun from my town. Just saying.
Okay.
Podcast@shopmarketingpros.com.
All right. Are you going to let me finish this?
You invited me.
You can get away with minimum ad budgets in these small towns. We're going to talk about like super small markets in a minute. You can get away with minimum ad budgets, but there's still enough people that are searching and you're not in such a small area usually that everybody knows who you are.
Yeah.
So
I don't disagree.
SEO is usually pretty easy, you know, in these small markets.
I would add to that because probably your competitors in a small market like that,
they're not even doing
very
it.
Very likely are not even doing it. So you've got Google on your side and Google is loving that you're doing it.
And then especially if you are a specialty shop, oh my gosh.
Yep.
Super, super easy when you're in small markets.
And my favorite thing about small markets is the community involvement. Can I talk about this?
Absolutely.
He giving me the stank eye, y'all, if you can't see. Is the community involvement. This is the part I know about, right? So in these smaller markets, 100,000 and less, you still need to do this in other markets, but you can really get a great impact and really get to know people, get involved in your chamber. If there's a BNI group, support the kids doing things, get involved in all the things you can possibly get involved in, network, attend events, sponsor events, your parades, all that great stuff. You can really make a pretty big impact pretty quickly if you just get out there. Look, here's the thing. Your chamber has probably two or three events each month that revolve around eating. You have to eat every day. So if you're going to eat, do it at a chamber lunch. Do it at a chamber breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
Host an event after hours with your chamber at your shop. Provide some food. Get to know some people. So there's even a book, some book, I can't remember it. David Hellinger told me about this book. It's about eating.
Never Eat Alone.
Never Eat Alone.
Yeah.
There you go. Put it in the show notes.
The community involvement is the most impactful marketing that you can do in a small market. And that's a beautiful thing for a startup business or a business that doesn't have much of a budget. You have to make the time. It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you money. One of the two. But sometimes, especially in a situation of a startup or a shop that has not grown a big client base yet, you have more time than you have money. And that can be a really good thing for you.
Question. In Brian's breakdown here, I was going to ask you about the ones that are like our good friend, Michael Gunther, who's way, way, way small, but 3,000 people or less. Out in the middle, maybe in nowhere. I don't know.
Yeah, Michael's in Crofton, small. Nebraska, 700 population.
He's going to fuss because we didn't get that number right, but I never get it right. 650, 750, something like that.
Yeah. And when you get into markets like that, the question is, can there be too little population? And when it comes to marketing, I say you do shop marketing. You go to the barber shops, you go to the coffee shops, and you get to know people, and you become like the known mechanic in town. And I hope I didn't offend somebody by saying mechanic.
Oh my gosh.
Google ads are very rarely going to work in a situation like that, unless if you're a specialty shop, then they can absolutely work because you can draw from a large area.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, man, all the people in your town already know who you are.
Hopefully, or should. And if they don't, then that's what you got to do. You've got to get out there and get known, shake some hands, hold some babies.
If you're in that ultra low market or ultra small market, man, there's just not a lot that you're going to be doing from a traditional marketing perspective. Your marketing team is not your be all end all.
Yeah. So I just want to put out there to be very careful when you're hearing this and we're talking about population impacting marketing. Never forget that whether it's you've hired an in-house marketing person who's doing all your marketing, or you've got a marketing agency you're working with, whatever it is, we've talked a lot about budget and Google ads and all of that. I want to be careful that people aren't saying, okay, well, I've hired this marketing person or this team or whatever, and then you forget to do the other stuff. They're doing what they're supposed to be doing, but there are still things that you need to be doing. Still taking care of your customers, still doing a good job. That's marketing. That's how they're going to write a review. Still being involved in your community, still sponsoring things, still just don't forget about the other stuff. You can't do Google Ads and SEO and think that's the only marketing that you have to do. There's a lot more that goes into it.
Some of the best shop owners that I know, they run ultra successful shops. They still have like a rack card that is with them all the time in their vehicle. And if they are going to the store and they see cars, like, and this is usually specialty shops, they see the types of cars that they work on, they'll go drop that rack card. Some of the best shop owners that I know, I'm talking about people with ultra successful shops, they still carry a rack card around with them in their car everywhere they go. So if they're walking through a parking lot and they see the types of cars that they like to work on, they'll go put that rack card on that car. Or it could be a business card or something as simple as that. And that is guerrilla marketing. And there are people that I know, they hate the idea of putting something on someone's car. They hate the idea of having something put on their car. But we did a podcast episode with Tatsu and Tim Shikarian, one of our early podcast episodes. Now, we're talking about two guys that they are not new shop owners. They have been doing this for a long time. Both of them are in California, big markets. They still do this. They do guerrilla marketing.
Mm-hmm.
It goes beyond just what your digital marketing team or your direct mail company or whatever is doing for you. And then one last point that I want to make. We talked about how large markets can be difficult. That does not mean don't do marketing. It means go into it with the right expectations. It's more important for you to be doing marketing than for any of the others to do marketing when you're in those big markets. You have got to let people know about your shop and what makes your shop different. And if there's nothing different about your shop, make something different about your shop. Make your shop special.
Yeah, for sure. If you leave this podcast with nothing else, ask yourself, what is my differentiator? And if you don't know, please ask your service advisor and your team.
Go read your reviews.
And go read your reviews. Seriously, find out what makes you different. And if not, that's what you should be leaving this podcast episode with, figuring it out or creating something. Not lying, but being intentional about developing a differentiator. Wow, that's a podcast episode right there.
So. All right. Well, thank y'all for listening in to this episode. We want to thank our sponsors, RepairPal. Again, without them, we would not be able to do this. We are just one podcast on the Aftermarket Radio Network. You can find the others at aftermarketradionetwork.com, and there is a treasure trove of information among those podcasts. So again, thank you for listening. We hope you'll listen in again next week. And until then, go fill those bays.
You've been listening to the Auto Repair Marketing Podcast with Kim and Brian Walker. Follow the podcast on your favorite listening app. Find their emails in the show notes and visit them at shopmarketingpros.com. Let Kim and Brian know what you want discussed, because they're all about advancing the aftermarket.